Welcome to the Tell Janice Radio Show, where you will hear inspiring stories about life, love, and labor from amazing women to help lift you up. Now, here's your host, Janice.
Thanks very much, and welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you're listening, and I'm sure you're going to learn a lot from our guest today. But before we get started, I wanted to remind you that if you know of a fabulous female that you would like me to give a shout-out to with a few words of encouragement, acknowledgement, or congratulations, please let me know their names by clicking on the link at telljanice.com.
My guest today is Gail Minogue. She's a speaker with Luminary Leaders out of Southern California, amongst many other talents, and her company is Academy Road Teaching. She's out of Los Angeles, and she's a numbers and trend specialist. I'm so excited to have her on the show. I've read a lot about you, Gail. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
We like our guests to get started with telling a little or a lot about themselves. Can you start with that?
A little or a lot. Well, you ask me a couple of questions and I'll give you a few answers here. My background has been more so in the business world. I've been a commodities broker since the late 80s, and I discovered the cycles and trends of numbers and how they affected everything back in the 80s, and then began the study of that as well. So it's a little bit about my work. I live in Los Angeles. I have grown children, and now I have grandchildren.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, completely well-rounded woman here.
It sounds like it. We've talked about a lot of different things that you're doing, and into the show we'll talk about some of your events coming up, one which is on August 20th, The Rise and Power of Women, which I'm completely intrigued about, and I'm sure our guests will be too. But you were in the corporate world for many years, and how did you make that transition, Gail, from the corporate world into what you're doing now?
Well, I actually kind of did a parallel track. I mean, I ran two things at the same time. One was just my interest, and, it became sort of a passion, but it was more or less an interest in looking at these numbers and studying Pythagoras and Pythagorean theorem and the sacred geometry and all that while I still worked in the business world. And eventually, I just said, I'm pretty much going to go ahead and do this because one of the other, I mean, I had less and less interest in that. There's still interest, but not more or less what I just loved. And that's what really propelled me out. And I always did some interim work so that it could pay the bills while I got this going. And that's how I started. I've always been pretty, what I would call an independent person. And I really believe that we all have our heart's desire. I think that really for each of us, there's the right path and then there's the true path. And I believe I finally took my true path. And it's interesting because it's enriched my life a great deal by doing that. But it's a challenge because you still have to take care of your day-to-day responsibilities. And how are you going to do that?
Right.
You find a way. You find a way. And interestingly enough, it sometimes happens organically. Like things just happen. This door opens or that door opens. It's very, very important to maintain a network. Extremely important, and to know how to utilize your network of friends, people, and such. And mostly all of my business is referral.
Wow. And you went from, what intrigues me is, as a commodities broker, that then got you into the numbers part of and numerology.
Well, I think that one of the things that commodities, they'll always say, it's a futures trading. And basically, I thought that was such a metaphor, but I never saw it at the time, but that it was a metaphor because I was always dealing with the futures and what was this contract going to be in the future. And it's very well with the political trend or the economic trend in the future. And you see the patterns. Once you learn the pattern of numbers, you literally can go buy a house and you know what that house is going to be like to live in it. And by the numbers on the door. And
wow.
You look at things very differently. And eventually you get to the point where when you're standing around people, you can actually feel the essence of their numbers. Because your name is full of numbers, letters, and then there have numbers behind them. And then you have times and dates, and everything becomes numerical. And if you look at everything it's all numbers. The Bible tells you days are numbered, and that's really what it means. It's all tones, sounds, colors, numbers. That's what everything's made up of. And if you get into a chemistry lab, it's all going to be numerics.
Mm-hmm.
And so the study of that and then looking at these bigger cycles that went with them, whether it's a, you know, it's ancient or it goes thousands of years, you know, we're still using laws that went back to the Sumerians, you know, 4,000 BC. You
mm-hmm.
know, like, how do these things progress and where are we now and what is this about and how is it influenced? So it can get very complicated, but I always stayed with the business world. My father was a banker and I never really sought this out to, you know, say, well, I'm going to go do numbers and numerology and all that. Are you kidding? Never. But now that's what I do. So, you know, the numerologist will come out with a three-piece suit and say, yeah, no, or yes, or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
so that's kind of my life now. So it's really taken a very different turn. And I think that we all have a point, you know, sort of a question point we have to say, is this what I want to be doing for the rest of my life? And what most people don't consider, they're going to live a long time. And they think of retirement, you know, they start really all this planning, and it's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't come here to retire at all. We come here to grow and to change and grow and to understand that all these experiences we have will help us do that, including our productive years, which really you want to really be working well into your 80s.
Well, I love that because
I've
concluded that in the past couple years, and I love that you said we don't come here to retire, because someone said to me yesterday that they could not wait to retire, and I have a different viewpoint, like you just said. When did you decide that? Was it because
I never thought of retirement. I thought, really? I don't know. I just, maybe it's because, and I mentioned this earlier to you when we were speaking in private, you know, I was the youngest of a large Irish family, and nobody retired. I mean, maybe they died, but that was a different ballgame. And being the youngest, you're kind of framed as the youngest. So you just continue to go on your merry way and as the youngest. And so there's something about that. And I looked at my life that in my own chart, I saw my greater years, my more successful years were after 64. I'm like,
wow.
Really? And so, and then my mother lived to be 102.
Wow.
And she was still driving in her 90s. God bless us all that no one was dead or injured. But the point of it is that a normal blueprint of a person's cycle is 120 years. And so we have man-made artificial time frames built up during the Great Depression that tell us, yeah, we need to plan a retirement to get certain people out of the workforce. But that is not true, and it's unfortunate because we are in a great deal of fear over it, that we won't have enough or it will run out. And instead, we should have never planned on it in the first place.
Right.
We should have really, we need to take very good care of our health. We need to understand what the body really needs. We understand to keep a very presence of our emotional well-being as much as our financial well-being. And that's very, very important. And because a lot of things are tied to your emotional, spiritual health, and that we just kind of discount that for our success. And we plan on our funds and our, you know, everything else so that we can get out of this grind at 65 or whatever it's going to be. But we're finding out now that the artificial time frame is starting to move and they're going to be retiring later and you can't get your benefits until here or there because it doesn't work for the current time. And eventually retirement will go away. After a couple of generations, you will not have this.
People really will live longer.
Pardon
mm-hmm.
me?
I believe that. It's yeah. kind of going through a cycle, I believe, especially since most of those retirement ages were established, like you said, during the Depression era. And now we're living longer lives. So I think we're being more creative and well into our, you know, over into our 60s, as you're doing. I mean, it's fascinating to me. The possibilities
yeah.
are endless.
No, I think totally. And we are responsible for our own bodies. And we need to, you know, stop looking at even the medical field or the way we look at it. And it's just a lot of things that in order to enhance your later productive years that you can do to help your physical form, that's going to be key. You know, so it's that societal changes, and that will take time, but it's in the process of going that way. So I it's exciting, but change is not easy. People hate change. They really hate it.
Mm-hmm.
They will stick with their old as long as they can because that's the devil they know versus the devil they don't know. And they, you know, change seems to signify for a lot of people loss. Like if I get a new car, I have to give up this old one, give it away. So we just have this idea that if I'll have to give something up, you know, or what if I need that?
Right.
We don't get rid of stuff. But, you know, it's very interesting how change is sort of imposed. And the United States is a huge agent of change for the world. It's very, it's at a five life path. So it's a catalyst of change for the entire world.
Right now?
Well, always has been. That's one mm-hmm. reason why it was formed in the first place back in 1776. So it's a five life path. It's a five blueprint, and it will create change and learn. It's to learn assimilation here so that the rest of the world can learn assimilation, which you can see the problems in the world with assimilation. So we got to get it here and continue to do it. So we, without assimilation, without freedom and change, this country doesn't exist.
Exactly.
So you hear a lot of talk about immigration. It's really about assimilation. We're the best in the world that do assimilation. We are the best. And if you look at all the nationalities here, it's all part of that five energy where there's change, there's marketing, there's promoting, there's, you don't like this, we'll fall. You know, no one seems to be able to understand us because we change a lot.
Now, are you talking specifically about the United States, our country?
Yeah,
okay.
The country, yes, the
mm-hmm.
country. So the people who live here in that umbrella also have the influence of a lot of change. So their lives are in movement or change, you know. You can do things here you can't do anywhere.
Right, right. And I wanted to get to some of your specific questions, and you already got to one of them about what is going on in the world right now. But why does it seem that it's on fire all around the world?
Well, we had in 2008 a very big transit come in, and it's a 16-year transit, and you're about halfway through. And that's when we had the bottom kind of fall out of the financial world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a revisit of the birth of the United States for us. It's a worldwide phenomenon, but it definitely affects the United States in many different layers. And so we're revisiting the time of the American founding. And are we living up to its principles? So it's a review. It's sort of a revolution. It's 16 years long, and the world is having to really destroy and create new structures. So you're seeing this worldwide phenomena. Also, the what we call man-made religions that began about a little more than 2,000 years ago are in the final phase. And so all of them that began in this, what we call the Age of Pisces,
mm-hmm.
are coming to a closure as we knew them. Substance will stay, but the structures of them will leave. And so you have this going on, and you have this big 16-year cycle of what I call death and transformation. So a lot of things are being transformed, and there's a lot of agents out there doing the deed
mm-hmm.
around the world, but particularly in the United States. And so the United States will be changing its structure of what it started with, how it's developed, and what it needs to stop doing and start doing. So you're seeing all across the political arena, but in other areas as well.
Right.
A difficult period till 2024. Summer of 2023.
Wow. So
yeah.
Let me ask you this. If you... in 2008 and being into numerology and the numbers and the cycles and 16-year cycles, you and other numerologists, did you see this coming?
You can see it coming. You don't know exactly how it's all going to, you know, as it hits, it's like, how will that building fall down?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. You know, will some of these structures stay inside it or not? And that's kind of the experience. Yes, the ins and outs and there's cycles within cycles going on. so that it is, some parts of it are harder, some parts of it are easier. You're just kind of now waking up the citizens. It's taken 8 years to get the citizens to sort of, you know, get out the pots and pans in the streets and do something. And so you're going to see more of that over the next 8 years.
Well, so it kind of explains, and I think it helps settle in my mind. Yeah, okay, this is a cycle. We can get through that, even though we don't, it's the unknown as well, right?
Well, it's the unknown because it's information now. Mm-hmm. You know, how are we going to go, you know, look at the medical system, even 8 years ago, what we're doing there with trying to sort out government care or Obamacare and all of this. How are we going to change the medical system? And that's a work in progress. How are we going to change the, now we have this police situation. Well, that's a work in progress. But it's going to take time to sort this out. But at first it has to be exposed. So from 2008 to 2024, it's all about exposure. I mean, there's a scandal every day now.
Exactly.
It has to be exposed. So what you're seeing is the dirt under the dirt. Before you just saw the dirt. Now you see the stuff under the dirt. It's like, ooh. It's like the dark matter. So you have all this stuff that's being brought out that you could never find 8 years ago because we didn't have the intelligence on our computers to be able to do that. Now we do. But almost nothing cannot be found out. It's very hard to bury it now. Because this is what we call a plutonian effect. It's very powerful. And
it
comes down the street, and it's going to dig up that road, and it's going to find out what's under that dirt itself.
So knowing this, Gail, should that calm our fears if we're fearful about the future of the United States?
I think so, because once you know, I mean, the United States is still going to be, I mean, you know, a lot of this scare stuff is, Julie, that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's scare stuff. The United States has a fabulous chart. Oh, my gosh. It will recover, and it will actually be a better nation itself. But it takes, we got a few more years here, folks. And it's just not fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not fun. There's like a lot of people are running for cover. You know,
absolutely.
It's like a monster movie.
Well, the apocalypse and all of the zombies.
No, the world's not coming to an end. The world is not coming to an end.
I like that you said that because I think a lot of people feel that that's what's coming and that's the ultimate, you know, realization.
Because that's what happens. You have two ages. You have the age of Aquarius rubbing up against the old age that's dying out. And the teaching tool of the old age of Pisces was fear. So it's a tremendous amount of fear. It's like, oh, my gosh. I just call it two big Teutonic plates rubbing up against each other. One is very much the development of the mind, the brain, artificial intelligence, robots. Oh, my gosh. Time leaping in vast sections at one time rather than seconds. And from the old Piscean age, which was religious and suffering and guilt and compassion, and a lot of things that were connected to that old age will also fade, which is one of them is anything under the ground, such as oil. So oil will fade, and in industries around oil will fade. And you're watching that going on. The price is very low right now. It's been low for a while. But, you know, so there's a lot of fear. The world's coming to an end. No, an age is coming to an end. It's a big difference.
And well, that would calm a lot of fears for people to hear that. I appreciate you saying that and having that philosophy. Do others share that same philosophy in your field?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think they may not explain it the same way. They'll do a hope and a promise. But if you take a look and you're able to synthesize and distill down a great deal of information that seems very disjointed, but it's not. It's connected. You've got to be able to connect the different dots that go way back and see forward what is going on. I mean, even this thing with women basically started about 10,000 years ago. So how did we reach this cycle? What does it mean? You know, but people really mainly are fearful of change. They need to stay very relevant now because things are changing so fast. So I always recommend people to upgrade their skills each year.
Mm-hmm.
Each year. I don't care whether you're 40 or 60 or 80, you need to upgrade your skills each year. And as we move forward and faster, there's going to be a lot of new industries that are we don't even know about. I mean, if you go back 10 years, you didn't even have the smartphones, so we didn't know about them. You have stuff now that we don't know about that will be big for creating jobs. And but there is an element that going through this transition, there's a lot of people that, well, what am I going to do to support myself? So you see a lot of TaskRabbit and websites that are, you know, people are hiring themselves out by the hour or hiring themselves out by the project.
So yeah,
it's dependency and loyalty to a corporation.
Oh, completely.
Well, this whole period is to expose the relationship of corporations to the government during the 16-year period and the enmeshment in the almost incestuous relationship they have. And so people don't even know. So here it is. It's like more exposure.
Right. Right. Let me ask you, too, what was there an original higher purpose for the founding of the United States?
Yes. Yes. It was to usher in the Aquarian Age. So many of the founders of this country were Aquarian sun signs, Aquarian rising signs, prevalent Aquarian, and which is the Age of Enlightenment. So it's coming out of Europe. It basically was starting the formation in the 1600s, but it was brought to the new, quote, new world. So we have a new world order, and it was one of enlightenment. And actually the leaders who put it together were very enlightened people. We're all tied to the constellations of the heavens, and they were too. So you have enlightened thinking and a work in progress. It's always a work in progress. So now it's about 240 years old, but that was the higher purpose of this, to usher in this age and the age of enlightenment and the age of the mind, the development of it. And so it's a very progressive place. And it can't be stopped. This is not an element that people, you can try, but it's an element that, you know, we will have artificial intelligence. We will have a world where we will have to really manage ourselves so that we don't get wrapped up in just a head trip.
Right. And do you see in 16 years from now or in 2024, as you mentioned, what do you see happening at that point?
Well, a lot of this upheaval will be finished. Now you have to put the new structures into place, which is going to take time. You won't get the presidential candidate you truly want until 2024 when this is over. But you will then start to put new structures, new systems in place. But so there's more to come of this change and upheaval and things like that that have to be managed well, so that we can create a better condition for the citizenry and then for the world, because we're always the catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
We will always be the catalyst. And we are to learn assimilation and literally export assimilation so that eventually is a development of a world that people are very interconnected, which is very Aquarian. And this is going to take about a couple thousand years.
Wow.
So, you know, we don't think in these little midgets of time that, you know, because one of the things about a five, it's like a short-term thinking. It's like, can we make a profit in the quarter that we're dealing with? But the longer-term picture, the United States is very good. The short-term is kind of eat your spinach and peas.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now it's cutting your losses, what you need to do. And so it's not enough to just give a lot of platitudes. You need to have something concrete that you're going to do about it.
So what advice would you give to people, younger people, like I keep hearing, and I have three millennials, what advice would you give to that group of young people moving forward into their future?
The millennials are, there's about 80 million of them. It's a great group because they don't believe a lot of the same. They didn't drink the same Kool-Aid that a lot of the older generation did about the government and the corporations, et cetera, et cetera. As you can see that with their Bernie Sanders following with the millennials.
Right.
The millennials are they're not tied to this old structure of piety to the corporation. They'll move around as best suits them, and also where their services can be best utilized. They're also much more savvy on making changes and adjusting. You know, I think I'm greatly relieved. They're also much more interested in the environment than the old order. I mean, it's not as destructive. They're much more aware. The other thing is that, you know, right now we talk about the millennials have a lot of debt. Well, it's good that this has finally been brought, student debt, been brought to the limelight so that it can be worked on. Again, that's another one of these exposures. But all these millennials are going to really eventually want to own houses, have families, but they will run governments in a different way than the old order did. So I'm just thrilled, you know, that this is the group, and it's a big group. It's a little bit bigger than the baby boomers were, like maybe 2 million more. So yay for the millennials.
Well, I like that you say that. When I call my oldest, who's 29, a millennial, he hates it. He hates the term. So you have more of a...
Nobody wants to be called like, oh, you're a baby boomer. Are you kidding? Wait, who, what? Boom what? You know. And much less be a baby. So, you know, but it's all, we do that with Generation X or, you know, what have you. We just do that. But there is something for the group that was born from 1980 on, and this is the group. And they have a totally different outlook. They're born at different constellations in the heavens, and they're intended to do that, you know. I think that everything gets balanced out once the millennials start to age, and they get, we're not really out of childhood until we're 30. So once we leave childhood at 30, then we start our adult life. So a lot of people have kind of jumped the gun. We're the big gun. We got these apps and we're selling them. And, you know, let me tell you, a lot of that stuff's going to calm down, because once they get out of childhood and they start their adult lives from the last soul cycle, the 28 to 35, is when they really are, they're out of childhood, they're starting adult life, they're thinking about, you know, what future more, what do we need to do to plan ahead, et cetera, et cetera. And they will fall into the same pattern moving into more awareness in adult life. But they don't even get out of, no one does, you, me, nobody. It takes 30 years to get out of childhood. Four cycles of the number seven plus the transition out of about a year or so.
Which has to do with the seven soul cycles that you had mentioned.
The seven soul cycles. Every seventh birthday, the soul downloads everything it learned the prior 7 years, imprints itself, moves on to another state of awareness. And that takes about a year.
Well, I wish somebody told me when I was 18 and considered an adult that I could vote. You know, I couldn't yet drink, but I wish someone told me that if I look to 30 plus, that's where my, you know, learning will happen. But I thought it all happened between 18 and 30. I'm wrong.
Yeah, you know, nobody tells us different because the parents don't know any better.
Right.
And the parents don't know that just the first 7 years, you're just getting used to the family of origin and getting your body in here. And then the next seven, you develop the mind, and then the next seven, the emotions, and then the next seven, integration of the body, mind, emotion. Now you're 29 years old. Okay, now you can come out, make the transition out. Here you are at 30, you're ready to start the world. Well, people who are very successful in their 20s, you know, so we say, when they're not really prepared, they're quote successful in their 20s, they haven't even started their adult lives yet.
Right.
So it will life is going to show them because it has to go through its natural cycles. And these are soul cycles, not ego personality cycles, not society cycles. Society gave us the artificial retirement age. It gives you the age of adulthood at 18, wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, you have certain parts of you are developed, but certain parts are not integrated at all, nor have you finished developing your emotional side. And so we carry this baggage that we never really integrated because we were really put into this. Well, go and do that. Really? And that's why when I talk about the right path versus your true path or your true work, what was it? And, you know, I was shocked. I had a visitor here from Australia. This gentleman is now 70, and he was a very successful dentist and in Australia and had a career, and find out he always wanted to be a veterinarian. He really never wanted to be a dentist. His father was a dentist, so he had to be a dentist. never wanted to be a dentist. Now, that's a large, that's not unusual, is what you hear.
Right. So that's your distinction between the right path and the true path?
Yeah, I mean, that he never even tried to go to veterinarian school.
Right.
Or that.
And how about you? How did that relate to you in your past?
Well, I actually always saw, you know, and this is, I always wanted a family, always wanted children. I always wanted to be married and be a singer. And be a singer and be what we'll call active in, I don't know, government or politics or something like that. That I like that. More cause situated, more cause, or what was your cause, or work on causes. I've done a lot of, when I was very early, I did a lot of that in my life.
So you add a singer to your fray. That's amazing.
I decided I'm not going to do the singing. Maybe when I'm in my 70s, I'll go be a singer, be a torch singer in a supper club somewhere. So I put that off, but I always did the causes. You know, I did. I started a shelter for battered women. I adopted I sponsored many Vietnamese refugees. I mean, just a lot of this kind of stuff. And still always loved the business world, so I stayed with that, too.
Well, on a personal note, you had 4 children and have 3 remaining. How did you balance all of that going through, you know, the corporate structure and then now into, you know, your later years and your other later cycles? How did you balance it all?
You just do. I mean, I look back and I don't know how I did it, but I think women are so talented. And they're just so responsible for the most part.
Absolutely.
You know, I ended up being a single mom with the last 2 children, and I did what I had to do. There was no silliness about it. You just did. You mm-hmm. looked at things that had to be taken care of, and that was it. That's my motto, was really the kids helped, but nobody, you know. They went to good schools, nobody got in trouble or anything. I mean, it was just fine. And I think that I don't say recommend, you know, I think everyone is different, but I think women are vastly underrated in what they handle. They handle a lot. They even married with husbands, they end up doing much more. Our society is changing that way, thank goodness. But that's another change for society, for helping to support female. So I've had, you know, I wouldn't say there's any magic formula. I think that you make a decision somewhere inside of you that this is going to work. I think this is going to work, and
Absolutely.
Get out of any guilt whatsoever. Get out of guilt whatsoever, because that's huge.
Right, and I think we just make it happen, and you do. Just take one step forward each day and try to...
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I think you make a decision. I think everything starts with a decision. You know, we're always a choice, and you make the decision. And from that, everything in your life will occur. So you choose, because it's your life that you're living with what's around you. These are your props.
Absolutely.
Everything is, you know, even people in your life that you meet, they're sort of a prop for you to either heal yourself, find out about yourself. And so you can't really blame the other person whatsoever. There's absolutely no blame. There's no victims. You can't be a victim. Please don't
Mm-mm.
be a victim.
Mm-mm.
It just doesn't work.
Well, there are so much that we can continue talking with. I have one last question that I don't want to fail to ask you, which I'm interested, because you're very intriguing. You've done so much in your life. And who was your mentor, or who was it, your mom, your dad, or somebody else that?
Probably my mother.
Okay.
It was probably my mother. My mother was quite strong. I remember being allowed as a young girl to do things that, I mean, I can remember a very, very young girl, so much so I had a note pinned on my coat, you know, and my lunch all packed, and I took the train from New York City to Detroit by myself.
Wow.
So that conductor was going to look after me. And I learned to trust myself. I think that's critically important, is that we give our children and ourselves the opportunity to learn to trust ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you're going to learn to trust yourself is to do something. learn from it, and you'll begin to trust yourself more. So I think my mother was the one who really taught me, and that never said you can't do that or you can't do this or nothing like that.
That's so important. It's self-esteem, and so your mom helped you with that and trusting your instincts.
Yeah, and my later years, or my middle years, or whatever you want to call them, I also learned if you don't value yourself, you really don't value anyone else very well.
It's very true. Very true.
In order to be of value, in order for you to help other people value themselves, you have to learn to value yourself. So that was a key thing that I had to learn, was to value myself in order, if I'm going to help anyone else value themselves.
Right. It's like putting your oxygen mask on first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot about self-worth, and that'll show up in very odd ways, particularly in the job market.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that, you know, coming into your own really is 50 plus. We talked about the years and your age,
right,
and how you're still growing and we're all still growing. And I love that. I thought I had, you know, when I was young, I thought I'd have it all figured out by the time I looked at my mom at 50, and I thought, okay, she's got it all figured out. And
yeah,
it is yet to come. The good stuff is yet to come. So I,
yeah, we integrate in our, we begin to free ourselves in our 50s.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gives.
So we do seven of those seven soul cycles. That's the most important soul cycle, is 49 to 50, and that's when we begin to really free ourselves from our shoulds.
Well,
it's a tremendous opportunity for women, for people, for everybody, but they don't know it. They don't know it at all. They don't even know they have a blueprint. They have not a clue they have a blueprint.
Well, I think that our listeners can get a lot from your content here and your message. And I wanted to talk about a couple things that you have going on. You have an event, as I mentioned earlier, coming up on August 20th, The Rise and Power of Women, Discover How Women Will Replace Male Leadership. I'm sure if we have male listeners, I'm sure they're not going to love that statement. Can you talk briefly a little bit about that upcoming here this
month?
Yeah,
I'm going to have a workshop in Santa Ana, California at Common Grounds. It's on my website, GailMinogue.com, and it's from 10 to 1 on August 20th, and they can register on my site. And I'll be taking us back so they can understand how we got into this situation of how women are being replaced or perceived in society and what is going on now and where it's going. And so it should be very helpful and very revealing. And that's, again, Saturday, August 20th from 10 to 1. And then also they can check out my website. I post every week, every Tuesday, and that's at GailMinogue.com. And I have a book called Divine Design, How You Created the Life You Are Living, which is about understanding your own blueprint and all various things about the numbers, even down to body parts, so that you understand if you're a certain number, what body part is also affected by it. But it also helps you to see what your karmic corrections are and your destiny you said you would go in this life. You know, what direction did you say you would go? And
mm-hmm.
So are you going in that way?
Well, I'm going to get that book. Can you mention the name of the book again?
Divine Design, How You Created the Life You Are Living.
Terrific. And you can reach Gail at Gail Minogue. It's GailMinogue.com. And you also do private consultations, workshops, and speaker platforms, correct?
Yes, I do. And if anyone needs a speaker, just let me know. I love to go out and talk about, I have certain topics that people love to hear, so they can choose from one of those. And it's quite fascinating.
Well, great. I've been very inspired, and you've actually given me and our listeners a lot of hope for the future, because right now a lot of people, as we mentioned, are more than a little fearful about what's upcoming. So I love your message. You have a lot to share, and I hope that you can be back on and we can touch on many of the other things that you're doing. And I would love to maybe have you on after the election and see what happens with that. That will be intriguing. Thank
that
you
is.
So much for being on, Gail.
Thank you. Thank you. I loved it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, this has been so enlightening and so just wonderful for me and for our guests. Thank you so much, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Ladies, I am so happy that you tuned in today and learned from our amazing, fantastic female guests, and I hope you recognize this as an opportunity to pass their knowledge on to your daughters and friends and share the wisdom of the ages. I'll talk to you again soon, and in the meantime, let's lift each other up, spread the love, and share an attitude of gratitude.